This is May the 16th, 1972, and I'm interviewing Myrtle Smith, one of our senior citizens, and she's going to give us some highlights of the town of Washburn.
Many of the early settlers of Washburn originated from Pembroke, Maine, namely the Wilders, the Stoddards, the Bugbees, the Churchills, and several others. Among the present-day residents are many descendants, especially from the Wilder family. Robert Wilder's family had 5 daughters. Sarah married Oryx Stoddard. Lorinda married William Humphrey. Mehetabel married Holmes. Loretta married the Farnham, and Alice married Al Houston. The Buckby family married into the Stoddards and have many descendants still in Washburn. In when the village burned in June 1864, Israel Washburn, the governor of Maine, who had presented a library to the town, was burned. In the Washburn Memorial Library, to date, we have one book from that library named Robert Bruce, King of Scotland, dated 1864.
Can you tell us where the first library was?
Marcella Hines, who was related to the Strattons, another original family, started a small library in the high school back in the early 1900s. But since it was in connection with her teaching, with her teaching of English, developed into a town library. Marcia Higgins was the first town librarian, and the means of organizing the same. Her husband was the first president of Washburn Trust Company, and after they moved from town, the library was carried on by Merle Carter, who later married George Carter, and
he was Adjutant General?
And became Adjutant General of Maine.
Did you take on the library after Myrtle Carter left?
Yes, I started to work in 1922. The library was just a bunch of old westerns and love stories, and one or two old pieces of encyclopedias in the back of Ernest Woodman's grocery store on Main Street. Byron Thomas, the pastor of the First Baptist Church, being a trustee and much interested in the library formation, was a means of getting a library building, separate building, where the library began to grow and the town gave more finances, therefore the shelves got filled up with a better selection of books. We were unfortunate in having to move so many times, but through the kindness of the Washburn Trust Company, they remodeled a little building next to the Baptist parsonage, and the library struggled along for many years in this little small one-room building. Because of no radio or television, people were great readers in those days.
Do you remember how many volumes you had there, approximately?
Well, we may have had a couple hundred books. And then through the Carnegie Foundation, we were given about 50 children's and adult books, of which we were very proud. Many of our books had to be repaired, and in the present library now you will find several volumes of books who had been rebound way back in the early 1900s, still in good condition today.
Can you tell us about the new library?
Well, we had some very interesting and educated people on our board, and they did their best to get a new building through the means of much hard work and the help of the Rotary Club and citizens from other towns who had lived here formerly. We were able to get the present building. We've been in this building now for the early 40s, we moved into our new building, and the building was dedicated. High school building, and many gifts were received for the building at that time.
This is a memorial library in memory of the...
This library was built in memory of the all the men who served in the First and Second World Wars. And a bronze plaque was placed in the library to honor these brave men. The library has grown in many ways and is used by neighboring towns as well as Washburn. For research and educational value, amusement. In 1968, I retired from the library and was honored with a plaque as being the outstanding citizen for the year. The presentation made by President of the Rotary Club and many friends and guests were present at the tea.
And how many years did you serve? 47?
45. Among my memories during the 45 years that I served as a librarian, association with people from this area, as well as state officers and other friends of the library. I was presented with a book of memories in letter form from outstanding citizens of the state and government, many of whom had grown up in this area and used the
friends
library.
From all over the country who have heard from them. Mm-hmm.
The present librarian is Mrs. Merrill. Mrs. Merrill Jardine, who had been an assistant in the library to fill the position. And the library has grown exceedingly. 100 books in the beginning to 7,000 at the present date.
I understand, Mrs. Smith, that Washburn had a newspaper at one time. Can you tell us about that? What was the name of it?
The name of the paper was the Washburn Record. It was published weekly by the Washburn Record Publication Company, of whom Earl M. Gibson was treasurer and advertising manager.
Mrs. Smith, could you tell us about your experiences as a school teacher?
My first term of school was in the fall of 1910. I taught in the town of Wade. Graded school, double seats. The superintendent came about once a month. With horse and buggy. His name was R.J. Libby.
Did you stay at the homes of the students, or did you
I boarded across the road from the schoolhouse, and it was to Henry Haynes. The people were very poor in that area, and the children, of course, walked to and from their homes to school. I had several unique experiences during my school teaching. One time I taught in Clausville, which was considered a great honor because it was quite a large school, and they were particular about their teachers. I have many pleasant recollections of the kindness and respect shown to me during that year in Crossville. I also taught third and fourth grades in the town. Many of the citizens of present day were my pupils.
That was here in Washburn, Utah?
Yes.
Third and fourth grade.
Namely, Mrs. Arlene Thompson, the bank president's wife, and several other outstanding citizens. At one time I taught the Tabor School, about a mile and a half from town, and in the spring and fall, when the weather was suitable, I walked to and from school. On stormy days, I had to have transportation. One fall, I drove my own horse, and not being much of a teamster, the horse knew more than I did about storms. We had a very severe storm during the day, and I had gone to school with a horse and buggy. But as the storm developed, by night it was impossible for me to get home, and my father had to come with a, on horseback, and the road was invisible. I finally arrived home, thanks to the kindness of Mr. and Mrs. Cable, where I kept my horse, and it was a, quite an experience to remember.
Did you, when you taught in Crossville, did you ride on the trolley?
Yes, when the trolley went through the main street at that time. It was the Valley Railroad, and I was supposed to go up to the store, but just a few steps up the street, but if I didn't make it, they would stop out in front of my house, wait for me. I have many pleasant memories of my trolley rides to and from Crossville. Dr. McManus, one of our older citizens, who lived to be in his 90s, was usually on the school board. And since he had many patients in Crossville, he used to come down on the trolley. If he had to wait, he'd come to the schoolhouse and always wanted to hear the spelling class. He was interested in the three, reading, writing, arithmetic. When we needed the schoolhouse clean, somebody got a big wash boiler and put on the old stove, and all the children brought gloss, and we all went to work scrubbing, cleaning. Then one time we had a box social and earned enough money to buy some window shades.
This is in Crossville?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I was, no storm would prevent the trolley from going, and I was entertained in the homes of pupils. Three families, the Duncans, the Chapmans, and the Hunters, came from Kincardine, NB, Scots Colony, in the early days. Mr. Hunter was famous for grinding the wheat into flour. He was well known in this area as a very reliable miller.
Understand that some of the flour was very, very good flour that people came from.
Oh, yes, the farmers raised their own wheat, and got the full value of it from the mill. The cereal and first and second grade flour, which made excellent food and contained all the vitamins.
Did the farmers raise potatoes in those days too, or at that time? Do you remember?
Yes, as the farmers cleared their land, and they didn't have the acreage that do it at the present time, but I can remember my father having perhaps 20 acres of potatoes. Of course, wheat and oats and the essentials for his family and the horses and cattle.
Probably the farmers raised most of their food in those days.
Farmers raised all their food, and did their own butchering and took care of their meat. There were no electric freezers in those days.
Did they dry their meat? I suppose they had smokehouses, didn't they, for their hams and pork and
when they would butcher, they would the pork, for instance, would the shoulders would be smoked. Each one having a little smokehouse, and they used this bark from the wood to make the smoke from hardwood. Made excellent hams and the bacon. And they knew how to cut up the meat so that every part of it was usable. My mother was famous for making hogshead cheese, which was...
They used most all the pig, didn't they, with the salt, the pork down?
Put the pork down in layers in a big stone crock and made a pickle with salt and water and saltpeter, and it never spoiled if it was properly taken care of.
How did they keep their meat, William, from their beef? Did they can that or process it to keep it, or?
Some of it was canned with a special pickle that they put over it, some of the beef, besides the pork. And I can remember they used to store it in the grain bins, in their granaries. They ate a good deal of it because they had large families in those days and they needed the meat. In the early days, the only means of transportation being horses, the harnesses were an important production. Ed Johnston was, for many years, a very efficient harness maker. He would make the harness from the, cut the leather and make the harness and stitch it together and put all the trimmings on, and it would last for many years. And if something ripped or went out of place, he was a busy man fixing the harnesses.
Now, they had several mills in Washburn, and did some of the older men file saws? Was that quite a business, too?
My uncle, Leonard Smith, who came here from Levant, married an Umphrey girl, filed saws at the Tom Fair Mill for many, many years. Later he moved to Bangor when his family were grown, and he still filed saws until almost the end of his days. Yes. Also in connection with horses, with blacksmith shops. Herb Simpson and George Sherrod were blacksmiths for many years.